since it is a Monday, since it is crunch time, since it is the final segment, what do you say we wrap with this?
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad.
How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Ah, yes. Welcome back. As Steve mentioned, final segment on a Monday of Crunch Time. That means it's time for the Richter Scale. Richter Scale brought to you by Ramsey Waite. All of your leading brands under one roof. Ramsey Waite brings you the Richter Scale. I'm going to let Steve rank. I'm going to bring up some stuff that happened from over the weekend and going to let Steve rank, how they shook up the world, how they shook up his world. Basically, you'll listen to it in each question. It's going to be different each time. So let us begin with Oregon men's basketball. Steve, they secure the commitment of Bol Bol today. What he lacks in name creativity, he makes up for in basketball ability. I spoke with Eric Scopel last Monday. He told me he thinks Bol is a true one-and-done guy for the Ducks, which would be their first, obviously, as long as Troy Brown sticks around. Bol, the son of NBA legend Manute Bol, five-star, number three-ranked player in the country. His commitment now gives the Ducks the highest-rated 2018 class in the nation, which obviously is the highest they've ever been. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is a big deal. How much does Oregon securing the signature of Bol Bol and getting a one-and-done shake things up for Oregon hoops in general?
First of all, I don't believe any of it. Nope, that's not a real name. This is just a total farce. We're all going to get taken in, and we're going to realize that this guy doesn't exist. No, in all seriously, it's a 10. They got a top three or four recruit on the heels of a Final Four with all this young talent here already. This is nationally shaking. Raymond Burr, for a lot of other programs, is going to say, this is real and it's terrible. But for Oregon, it's awesome. I'm going with a flat 10 right there.
Still the number one story on CBSSports.com right now. By the way, Kelly Graves and Sabrina Ionescu scoff at Bol Bol. So the Ducks are Duck men are 4-0 to start the season. They sort of struggled out of the gate against Coppin City because Coppin's not a state with only a 16-point win. I guess it could be viewed as a struggle relative to what they've done in their other three games. 100 points, 114 points, and 95 points against Prairie View, Alabama A&M, and Ball City because Ball is not a state. This is one of those rare seasons where you know nothing about a team coming into it. So we knew they had talent, but this sure does seem loaded with athletes, this team does, and they're out to a hot start. So we'll find out a lot this week in PK80, but how much has Oregon's start to the season changed how you view them?
I thought they would win the games, but after they got read the riot act after the second half against Coppin State, apparently they got a little lackadaisical. They didn't have their assignments down. They had some defensive lapses. To see the way that they've bounced back and kind of kick it into high gear, and you could see the first signs of all these guys gelling. I'm not shocked. I'll never be shocked by success under this staff. But I thought everything would be pending now. I'm actually willing to take a leap of faith and say I'm about a 7.5 surprised and pleasantly.
Curious how many conversations were had about bending their knees after that opener against Coppin City. Oregon football, big win over Arizona and Autzen Saturday. Hey, did you know that Justin Herbert being healthy makes a difference for them? Crazy, right? But the win makes Oregon bowl eligible for the 12th time in the last 13 years, brings some much-needed confidence back to the program that, by the way, also has a highly rated recruiting class. I have a couple from this game. First, how much does Oregon winning against Arizona and getting bowl eligible change the perception of Oregon football?
Well, that if they had lost, first of all, the lean on of, well, they lost their starting quarterback, what did you expect, would have evaporated. But winning convincingly and being a prohibitive favorite with a chance to get to 8 wins to double last year's total, I think in essence they're taking a step back towards what the perception was when they, you know, were really a powerhouse from, you know, 09 through 2000, even into 2015. So I don't think it needed to change much, but it opened some people's eyes about, wow, what they're capable of. So I'll give that about a 7.
Second, Royce Freeman finally found the end zone, 4 touchdowns against the Wildcats. It had been 6 games since he had found pay dirt, but in the game broke several Oregon records: total touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, total scoring, and he now has 5,499 career yards, which puts him 41 shy of Cedric Benson and 9th in NCAA history. How much did Royce Freeman breaking the touchdown record for Oregon shake things up for how he's viewed historically for the Ducks?
I don't know. The records are nice because when you open up the media guide, you're going to see his name first. But for right now, I don't know how much historically, but when you break literally every record and people are asking, are you the best running back in the history of this program? You got to go 9.
Jim Mora is out on the heels of his 3rd straight loss to USC, which is probably the most important thing you could do as UCLA head coach. UCLA AD Dan Guerrero announced Mora gone. 46-30 career record with the Bruins, still owed a little over $12 million on his deal, so clearly UCLA must really not like him being around anymore. But who cares about Mora? Let's make this about what everyone wants to make everything about: Chip Kelly. Chip has now been tied to Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, Nebraska, and of course UCLA now. You've actually talked about him in UCLA before and how it would be kind of a good fit. So the rumor mill was already rolling, but how much does Mora being fired shake things up on the Chip Kelly front?
Well, first of all, I think it's pretty obvious Kelly's going to be the first coach ever to have 3 jobs. He's going to get hired at Florida, at UCLA, and at Texas A&M. He's never going to leave his office. He's just going to coach through Skype, and he's going to get 3 paychecks.
Call plays via Skype from the booth. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And then he's going to get fired and be collecting paychecks from 3 different schools, taking Bobby Bonilla to a new level. No, the fact that now there's been acknowledgement that there have been meetings, Kelly is right in the mix. I didn't think he was ready to come back to college. I knew last week the 2 guys who were telling us it was a done deal were just making crap up. But UCLA is really intriguing. Gainesville, College Station, Lincoln, but knowing Chip Kelly is kind of a dazzling urbanite, I think this suits him well. So that's a 9 too.
All right, last one here to the NFL. Your New York football Giants somehow beat the Chiefs over the weekend. I dare you to make less sense, NFL. But much has been made about just how bad your favorite NFL team is this season. After all, they lost to the 49ers. Ugh. But the Chiefs are running away with the AFC West. The Giants are 3rd worst team in NFL standing. So what the what? How did your Giants win over the Chiefs shake up how you feel about them and their head coach, Ben McAdont?
He's gone. He's Ray Hanley from 1991. He took over for a legend in Parcells, won 2 Super Bowls in 5 years. He's out. It didn't change it one bit. It just showed how bad Kansas City and how overrated Kansas City was. So I'm going to do that. It's a half. Not even a 1, but not a none. It's a half.